On Midwest Week, school districts in the state of Iowa fight over who's in charge. I'm Herb Trix, and my guest this week is Grant Gerlach, reporter for Iowa Public Radio. Over the summer, school districts in Iowa were planning on how to start the new school year, and then Governor Kim Reynolds stepped in and made an announcement. And Grant, what was that?
Well, the announcement was that they would have to provide at least 50% of their instruction in person, in spite of some schools being concerned about the pandemic and the presence of COVID-19 in their communities. And she said that was based on a law passed late in the legislative session that said, essentially, school districts must provide their instruction primarily in person. And if they want to use primarily virtual learning, they have to have permission from the governor through a proclamation. So when she made her proclamation, she said her standard would be 50%. And otherwise, they would have to ask permission from the Department of Education with consultation from the Department of Public Health in order to provide more than 50% of their time remotely or with virtual classes.
Now, part of the governor's proclamation was that in order to have just remote learning, they had to reach a threshold of, 15% positivity in their district or something like that?
That's right. 15% infection rate, that is, over the course of 2 weeks, 15% of the tests, the COVID-19 tests in that county, would have to be positive in order for the school to qualify to request a switch to virtual learning. That's one of the main criteria. The other criteria that they laid out is that the school has to have at least 10% absenteeism in order to make that request. They haven't always followed that so far, but that's another one of their criteria that they've set out. And that's been shown to be more complicated recently because of how they're calculating that absentee rate. At first, they asked schools to count any students who are ill with COVID-19 or are quarantined because they were in close contact with someone who turned out to have COVID-19. Now they've changed that. It's not entirely clear when exactly that changed or why, but they're saying that school districts could not count students who are simply in quarantine because they were exposed to the virus. Their assumption is that those students may still be going to school remotely, but they're not sick necessarily. So schools are being told not to count those students who are just in quarantine, but count those students who are specifically ill with the virus itself.
Now, when the governor made that announcement announcing the rules about reopening school, that was based on action by the legislature, was that based on any sort of expert testimony or committees that looked into it or something, or they just said, we want to make sure everybody goes back to school at least a little?
Yeah, the legislature itself was trying to figure out how to respond to the way things went in the spring when schools had to shut down with short notice and spend the rest of the year virtually, and it was voluntary for students. They didn't want that to happen again. So that's one of the reasons they put the provisions in the law that they did. The governor's interpretation of that law, she says, comes out of talking to parents who are desperate to have a place for their kids to spend the day because they have to be at work. And it also came from the weight of the health risks, the mental health risks, social, emotional health risks that go with the isolation while students were at home all summer and spent so much time away from their classmates and their teachers. So she put a great weight on that. And the CDC has mentioned those risks when students are talking about going back to school. Of course, there's the risk of the virus, too. So the governor herself seems to put more weight on those risks that come with not being at school versus the potential risks that come with the virus if you are in class.
Okay, so how did Iowa school officials react to all of this?
Well, a lot of them just figured out what they need to do to comply with the rules and move ahead. For a lot of districts, most districts, it seems, that means in-person classes with the different mitigation factors that they put in place to try to keep things safe, distancing. Many are requiring masks or at least encouraging them, different methods for controlling how students move around the school and how they get their meals and everything, lots of hygiene, washing hands. Other districts really felt like they were in more of a bind. Like Des Moines Public Schools, they had a plan all ready to go that did not meet the governor's standard of 50% in-person learning. And then as they got closer to the beginning of the year, they decided that they really were uncomfortable bringing students and teachers back with the current transmission of the virus in Polk County and in Des Moines. And they decided to start the year virtually. They applied with the state to get permission to do that, and the state denied that permission. They decided to go ahead with it anyway, and on Tuesday, classes started online. It hasn't been the same across the state. There have been a lot of different ways districts have reacted to these requirements.
And as I understand it, the Iowa City School District has reacted similarly to Des Moines?
Well, initially they wanted to start online. They didn't get permission for that. Then they asked for permission again after the infection rate in Johnson County skyrocketed when students came back to the University of Iowa. At that point, they got permission to spend the first 2 weeks of the year online starting Tuesday. And now they're looking at trying to extend that permission another couple weeks. In the meantime, Iowa City is part of a lawsuit with the Iowa State Education Association challenging the state's guidelines. Des Moines Public Schools has a lawsuit that's going on. Ames School District is also challenging some of the state's decisions with return-to-learn plans as well.
Now, so far, at least a couple of judges have ruled in favor of the governor and her emergency powers. What exactly does that mean?
So we've gotten rulings from the Iowa City lawsuit and the Des Moines lawsuit. These were rulings on requests from the districts for, they wanted the judge to enact temporary injunctions against the state rules. So that's what these particular hearings were about. And the judges ruled against that. They wouldn't do it because they said that under an emergency situation and with the law that was passed by the legislature, basically the governor had the authority to do it, and the districts might not like the terms that she put on those return-to-learn guidelines, but it was within the governor's authority to do it that way. That doesn't mean the lawsuit is over. Those lawsuits go forward. It just means that in the case of Des Moines Public Schools, they're out of compliance with the state rules while that lawsuit moves on.
Have some school districts in Iowa qualified for exemptions from the rules set by the governor?
Districts can apply for waivers, and so far there have been, I think, just three of those granted. Iowa City, because of the infection rate in Johnson County that I mentioned. Ames got a two-week waiver because of the infection rate in Story County, with students coming back to Iowa State. And a smaller district in Marion County, Twin Cedars, had gotten a waiver that I believe has expired by now, but they were able to spend a little more than a week with virtual classes because of a number of teachers that were in quarantine because of close contact with someone who was positive with the virus.
And have you heard that many school districts in the state of Iowa are following the governor's rules and things are going okay or well so far?
Yes, for the majority of districts, they're following the rules. How is it going? It's hard to tell exactly how well it's going. The state is not requiring districts to report when there is a positive case for a student or a teacher. They're only asked to report when their absence rate is over 10%. And as I mentioned, that's a complicated number because they're talking about 10% absence of people who have the virus, not just people who are quarantined. So it's difficult to get a solid picture of just what the spread of the virus in Iowa schools looks like. There's a website called iowacovid19tracker.org. A woman, Sarah Willett, who's been tracking COVID-19 numbers since the pandemic first arrived in Iowa in March, and she started to include reports of cases at schools that she's been trying to track down with the Iowa State Education Association. And so far, there have been more than 200 students with COVID-19 infections, more than 130 teachers, and around 1,800 students have been in quarantine, and around 260 teachers. Those are not ironclad numbers because there's no systematic reporting of these things, but that's what they've been trying to follow up and verify. So the virus is in schools, and there are cases that are cropping up. In terms of the intensity, it just varies from district to district. There's definitely been stories of football teams, volleyball teams that have had to be quarantined and put a temporary pause on their year because of the presence of a positive case. That doesn't mean it's, you know, happening all at the same time across the state, but these cases are cropping up and they are having an impact in sort of a case-by-case basis.